Hello, everybody. We're back again. It sounds like the little gremlins are on the line again because they disconnected us. And, you know, sometimes they like to get in there and play games. And we don't need that energy, but it happens a lot of times with the electronics. But Don is going to be monitoring it, and if it happens again, he'll switch us back on. So just stay with us anyway. Okay, before we go, I want to give out the toll-free number in case anybody wants to call in tonight. The toll-free number is 1-888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. Okay, and what we were talking about last week, I said, was a carryover from the Coast to Coast show, and it really created a lot of emails, a lot of calls, because it seemed like we really hit something that people resonated with. So that's why I want to expand on it on the show tonight. But if anybody does have any questions, you can call in and talk to us. This has to do with the, what I call the three waves of volunteers that have come to Earth to help save the Earth, really, to help. There's a caller. Oh, right. Okay, hello. Is anybody there?
Hi, my name is Tashana. How are you doing?
You're kind of soft. Go ahead.
I have a question. I was interested in past life regression, and I wanted to know how can I make that happen? Because I don't know actually where to go, and, you know, if I was actually interested, what should I do?
Well, this is what I do, you know, and I do it in an office in Arkansas. And people come here, they come from all over the world to have the past life regressions done here. And it is with hypnosis. And a lot of people have been emailing and calling and say, can you do it on the telephone? This is not the kind of thing you do on the phone. That's like a psychic reading when you can do that. This, you have to be there with me. Because I'm a therapist, and it's counseling, and it's really very serious. So I would do those sessions in my office here, and you would have to call and make an appointment. But we also have people that I've been training that have taken my classes all over the world, and they're listed on our website. There may be somebody who's closer to you who has taken one of my classes and can help you. Oh. Where do you live?
I live in New York.
New York, okay. I've had several classes up there. If you go to my website, you can find people. If you don't want to come to Arkansas, where I live, but, you know, it's a ways, but that's where I see people here. But I have trained people in New York, and they're listed on our website. And we list all the students by state and by country who have taken the class. And we can't vouch for any of them. We can't recommend anybody. We just say they have taken the class. And if you call one of them, say you want them to use the Canon method.
Different.
It's different than normal past life regression.
Okay.
Okay. And, I'll give you the website. Okay. Oh, the website, what?
We also have it under your name.
Oh, is it under both? Go ahead and tell her then.
Well, it'd be easier if you just look up www.DoloresCannon.com, and that's either spelling of Dolores, so it's DoloresCannon.com, and then just go to the students page.
Okay. Can I ask Dolores another question? I wanted to ask her, what is her, as far as age, what is, like, the youngest person she's ever had a session with as far as, like, past life regression?
Okay. I don't like to work with really young children because, you know, my job is to help people, and I don't want to do anything that's going to confuse anybody. And, you know, little children may not understand what this is all about. So the youngest I'll work with is maybe 16, 17. And some 16-year-olds are kind of too young. But I don't like to work with anybody younger than that.
Okay.
What are you thinking about, a child or what?
No, I was thinking about myself.
Well, you don't sound like a child.
No. No, I just thought, like, maybe you had, like, an age requirement or something.
Oh, no. Just not anybody under about 16, 17, and they go all the way up into their 80s. They come, every age group and every nationality, everything you could think of.
Oh.
But if you want to come to Arkansas, I do see people here in my office.
I would love to come to Arkansas, but it will probably be expensive to get there, and, you know.
Well, that's the problem. But otherwise you can see if you can find one of my students in the New York area.
Okay. Thank you, and I'll go on the website tonight.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Yeah, that's the thing. They are coming from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
I know in 1 week I had... it was back in, I think, last winter. I had a man come from Japan, and two people came from Australia, two separate women, and somebody came from England, and then a doctor brought his wife from Italy. So that was in just 1 week's time. But that doesn't count all the ones that come from all over the United States. So they're finding me in this little bitty town in Arkansas. And it's amazing, but everybody that comes has problems. They have something they're looking for. And that's my job, is to try to help them to find the answers on whatever it is. Okay, so I'm going to go back now and talk about the three waves. I started out last week talking about it, the three waves of volunteers, because I mentioned that it goes back to ETs, but I don't want people to start thinking it's UFOs and ETs and things like that. This is a totally different viewpoint on it.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, way back in the beginning, the aliens, if you want to call them that, they're called the archaic ones, or the ones that started life on Earth. They're the ones that did the seeding of the planet, and they're the ones that created life. And I've had other shows on here where I've gone into great detail about that. But it's been their job to watch over us ever since we were created. We're like their children, and they like to take care of us. But, you know, there is the law of non-interference. What you have in Star Trek is very real. They cannot interfere. We have free will, and they can't interfere with that. They can't interfere with anything about a developing civilization. All they can do is just watch and shake their heads and say, you know, what are these kids doing, you know? But they can't interfere. But they have given us things down through time that would help us whenever the time came. Because in all through history, and every country in the world, every culture, they all have the legends of the culture bringers. These are the ones who bring the things that the civilizations need. Like in the Indian civilization, we have the legends of the corn woman who brought the corn and told the people how to plant. And then we have the ones who brought the fire. And all kinds of legends where people have come and given the developing civilization some kind of a gift. And in all the legends, the culture bringer always came from the sky or from across the water. But they always give them something that they needed, and they, because they live much, much longer than humans, they would live among the developing races and developing civilizations to be there with them to help them. So that's why the legends of the gods in these different civilizations came about. But what happened, well, that's one thing. I'm sorry, I'm trying to jump around here a lot. Sometimes I use this just for an entire hour, two-hour talk. But I asked them one time, isn't that interference if you come and give the civilization something like that, some kind of knowledge? They said, no, it is a gift. We give them to them one time as a gift whenever the civilization is ready. And Then we just let them see what they want to do with it. And then they said, usually they're watching and shaking their head, is what in the world are they doing with this? Because most of the time, the human race will turn it around and make it into a weapon or use it in the wrong way. And I said, well, can't you come back and tell them that they're not doing it right? They said, no, that is interference. Otherwise, it's free will. But now, because there's so many people in the world, they can no longer live among us. The idea of the next invention, the next thing that's supposed to be in our timeline, is put into the atmosphere and is spread all over the world, so that whoever picks up the idea will be the one who invents it. They don't care who invents it as long as it gets into the timeline. And you know, there's people all over the world who are always working on the same inventions all the time, and it's just whoever develops it first. I've talked to many of my clients everywhere I go all over the world who are working on free energy, and it's the same idea, the same invention. So I know it's going to come into reality, and I was told not to put these people together, to let them just develop these things on their own and go their own way. Anyway, everything was going along well, until about the end of the Second World War, when we dropped the atomic bomb. That's when everything got changed. You know, they're letting us go along with free will, seeing what we're going to do with it, shaking their heads, knowing they can't interfere. Well, then, at the end of World War II, when we dropped the atomic bomb, that really got their attention, and they came down here to see what we were doing. What in the world are these kids up to now? Because you remember, at the end of the 40s and the beginning of the 50s is when we began to have the big UFO splat, you know, the UFO sightings. It really increased at that time, right at the end of the World War. And this is part of the reason. They wanted to find out what we were doing. The atomic power was not supposed to be in our timeline yet. It was a very powerful power, and they knew we wasn't ready to use it. We weren't supposed to receive it yet. It would be in our future. It would supposed to have been used in a positive way. Instead, when we developed it, we turned it into a very powerful weapon. It was not the way it was supposed to be. They knew that the world was not ready for this. They said, these kids can't even take care of themselves. They can't even work out their own problems. Look at here, they just got through with this terrible war. There's too much violence. They'd never know how to handle a power as strong as the atomic power. So they didn't know what to do about it, because the only way they could ever interfere would be if we were going to destroy the world. If we come to that point. And they were really afraid, with the invention of the atomic power, we could get to that point where we could destroy the Earth. If we were to destroy the Earth, it would send reverberations and throughout the galaxy and throughout the universe and throughout the other dimensions. It would create too much havoc. So they said that would be the only time they would be allowed to step in and interfere. But now they're trying to think, what should we do now? These kids are playing around with something they don't know what to do with. And they said they went back to the councils. Now, there are councils out there. These are the councils that set the rules and regulations of everything that goes on. Everything is very ordered. There are a great deal of rules and regulations in this. Nothing is haphazard. We just don't know about it. We're the ones in the dark down here. So they went back to the council and told them what was happening. And they would have liked to have stepped in and said, hey, you can't do this. This is not right. You don't know what you're playing with. But to do that would have been going against our free will. It would have been interfering. So they didn't know what to do. So they came up with what I think is a wonderful plan. And they said, we cannot interfere from the outside, but maybe we can interfere or influence. Yeah. My daughter Julia's here. That's a good word.
Yeah.
They would be able to influence what's happening in the world from the out the inside. They couldn't do it from the outside. That was forbidden. But maybe we can do it from the inside. So this is the plan they came up with that I think was absolutely brilliant. They sent out a call throughout the galaxies, throughout the solar system, and way, way beyond. They asked for volunteers. They said they wanted the people to come and volunteer to come and save the Earth. And they knew we couldn't do it. We were so entrenched in violence, so entrenched in karma, we were still going round and around on the wheel. We couldn't do it. We had to bring in what I call pure souls, the souls that have never known violence, have never been on Earth before, have not accumulated karma. Those are the ones they thought could save the Earth, but it had to be with their free will. They had to ask for volunteers to come in. So the call went out to everyone who wants to come and help the Earth. And this is what I've found now in my work. I found what I call the three waves of volunteers. I've been accumulating this information for years, and I've been writing about it in some of my books. I had bits and pieces, but I hadn't put it all together until now. And the first wave, I believe, would be in their late 50s. Because, well, I just had a man, my last client, who, he was born in 1948. He would be about 60. And we found out in the session with him that he was also one of this group. But he fits into it because they began to be born right after the atomic bomb was exploded, right at the end of World War II. Now, these people, let's see, where am I at there?
In the first wave.
The first one, before in all the years I've been doing my work, and I've been doing this for 30 years, when you take people back into past lives, it's normal past lives. They go back to all times of cultures on the earth, different time periods, every country, every place you could think of. That was normal past lives. It has changed. I guess it's been 2 or 3 years, maybe, is when I'm finally beginning to find out what's happening. Instead of going to a normal past life, this is how I've gotten this information, the person would either go back to the source, which we call God, and they had never left the source to be in any body or any physical,
Before,
they had never done any of that before. Or they had come from other planets, spaceships, or they'd come from other dimensions, even light beings, where they had never been on Earth before. So this is what they began to come up with. And it was strange because everyone, they were talking to them, and they said they had never been on Earth before. And I said, well, if you liked it so well where you were, because they were quite happy being with God, they were quite happy being on the spaceships and living in other planets. I said, if you were so happy there, why did you decide to come to Earth and enter into the body that I'm speaking to there in trance? They all have told me the same thing. We heard the call, and we decided to volunteer. Before they came in, they were counseled, and they were told what they were going to be getting into. But being they were innocent and pure, they had no idea what a horrible place the Earth is. I don't think it's that horrible, but a lot of people do.
Well, it's not. There's negativity, there's a duality, there's all these things like that. But and I think when they say it's hard, it's the emotions and it's the denseness. It's so different from what they're used to. But, you know, so I kind of get offended every time you say what a horrible place this is. Because
this is a beautiful planet.
This is our home. You know,
I don't
right
think
now,
of it
so.
As horrible because but some of my clients do.
Mm. Probably but, compared to what where they came from, yes, it's very different.
Because that's what I've been told. Earth is a challenging planet. In fact, you were saying you'd heard that they had to be very brave to come to Earth.
Yeah, very brave. And they said, well, no. I mean, brave, but master manifestors. In order to come here, you had to be the Earth. This universe is the most complicated universe of all the universes.
Most challenging.
And then Earth is the most, or the most challenging planet within the universe. So in order to be able to even come to this planet, you had to be a master manifestor to even enter into this realm, because it took that kind of power. It took that kind of a being. And so to me, that really raises the whole thing of, this is a horrible planet where we feel like lowly beings over here contaminate, you know, whatever, isolated, to, hey, it took major master beings to be here. And what a wonderful thing, because of its challenges or anything. In other words, we have to be so developed to even come here.
And they said they really admire us for doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a challenging planet, and you come to Earth to learn emotions and limitations. The other planets have lessons, but they're not near as difficult as Earth. So these people have volunteered to come, and I have taken them through the sessions when they are getting ready to come, and they're saying, oh, I want to help so bad, and I really want to do this. It can't be that bad down there. And then when they're going into the body, they're just, they wish they wouldn't have. They said, why did I raise my hand? Why did I decide to do this? Because they said when they're entering the body, it's so dense and heavy, and it feels crammed back into this. Because our planet is very dense vibrations.
Mm-hmm.
And they're thinking, what was I thinking of? I should never have volunteered. But, of course, when you come into the body, everybody, except for a few exceptions I've had as clients, everybody forgets what they came in for. They come in with the blinders on, totally oblivious of what they were supposed to be doing when they came in here. So that's the problem. Now, the first wave that I'm finding out, many of these, because they were pure souls, don't like it here. I hear it again and again and again with my clients. They said, I don't want to be here. I don't like it here. I don't like the violence. They can't stand the violence. Why in the world do people hurt each other? They said, I want to go home, but I don't know where home is. I just know it's not here. And I've had several, we had over 3,000 emails have come in since I did the Coast to Coast show. And many of them have said they remember standing in the kitchen talking to their mother when they're about 5 years old.
Or younger.
Even younger, 4 or 5 years old, and saying, Mommy, I want to go home. And they said, but you are home. And they said, no, this is not home. And they never could figure out why they said that and why they felt that way. But these are the ones who have come, and they know this is not the right place. They don't want to be here. It's not at all what they thought it was going to be. And emotions are really difficult for these people. Anger and, what is it, anger and another one? Well, fear is one thing, but anger really disturbs them, because they don't like it. They'd rather be alone than to be out experiencing the emotions of other people. They don't know how to handle it. They haven't had that background to know.
Yeah, intense emotions.
Intense, strong emotions they don't like. And when they came in, there was something like a sleeve was putting over the person to prevent them from getting any karma, accumulating any karma. Because these are souls that have not been on Earth to accumulate karma like the rest of the people here. So it's something like a protective coating, I guess you would say, so that they could not accumulate karma while they were here. Because all they want to do is do their job and get out. They don't want to be stuck here. They don't want to have to stay on Earth. Now, none of these people know this consciously. It's all on the subconscious level, the other part of their mind. And that's what makes it so difficult. And many of these people in the first wave have tried to commit suicide to get out because they just said they can't take it. I've had some who would rather just sit in their house and be alone rather than mixing with people because it's just too much, it's too hard. This is the first wave, but there are exceptions. As I had a man, just one of my last clients, the one I talked about, who he is adjusting just fine. Mm-hmm. And when we had the session, they said this was his first life on Earth. He was one of these people in the first wave. But he had been counseled, he had been talked to before he came in and prepared much in a much better way. Maybe that's because he was one of the older ones. That makes
the
difference.
First one. That would have been one of the first ones.
Yeah. But he didn't have as much trouble.
Or maybe as they start coming in more, they had a faster program and they were rushing through.
Faster turnover point or something. They didn't get to counsel.
I don't know.
Or they all said, oh, it's okay, I can do
maybe
it.
Maybe that counselor was off that day and let some of them through.
Or they said, I can handle it, that's all right. But I've had some of our emails that said people in their 60s
mm-hmm.
who were
mm-hmm.
saying, but I fit that profile. This is just the way I
mm-hmm.
felt all my life, but I'm not, I'm older than that.
Right.
So we're thinking maybe there were some coming in before the first wave really began to kind of, I don't know.
Test the waters is what I'm getting.
Test the waters.
Kind of prepare it a little bit. So.
You know, just let a few in because they had no idea until the atomic bomb they were going to have to really bring in a whole bunch of souls all at one time. This may be kind of complicated for people out there. And now we're not trying to say this is an invasion of Earth by aliens.
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't want that.
No.
What? When you get?
I have to talk to you separately. Well, the reason they were coming in back there is they already knew long before that the raising of the vibration was
uh-huh.
going to be happening. It was going to have to happen. It couldn't happen on its own, and there was going to be this, just like they have always come and done things to raise things to that next level. Well, that's what this is happening. So that's why they were coming in back here, you know, because this is for this, what we're coming and what we're in now. It's preparing for that, but it was also happened at the same time as this other thing.
Yeah, because we knew eventually we were going to be going into the new Earth and the raising of the vibrations and frequencies of the entire Earth.
Right,
so,
yeah, because that's nothing new. No. That's been being planned a long time.
But
so.
I think this kind of speeded up the program with the atomic bomb
right.
and knowing
well,
they were going
right.
mm-hmm. to have to come in mm-hmm. and do something about it. But we have got so many emails, it's absolutely amazing, and I can't answer them all. So anybody out there who has written, we've been trying, but there are just too many. But they're all saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel I'm one of the first wave.
Right.
And I don't want to be here. Tell me what to do. What should I do? That's the problem. What should I do?
Can I remember, first of all, you're in this body for a reason. Okay, you came here for a reason. And everybody's wondering, what do I do? What do I do? We're not human doings. We're human beings. We are to be. And every time somebody asks me, you know, what am I supposed to be doing? It's always, they tell me the same thing. You're just supposed to be. And that's really the biggest influence, these people, of all the three ways, all of them. They help just by them being around. You know, some of them are channels of energy, like you're going to tell in a minute. You know,
yeah.
I mean, they're there, and just by them being and where they are doing what they're by being their pure selves. That's it, you know. So,
but it's hard because they're in here with all of these dense other personalities, and they can't understand the violence that people do to each other.
Just remember, they just have to remember who they are. They just have to remember their connection, and then that love connection.
It's total love.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're supposed to be projecting.
That exactly. That's the being part. So just remember
uh-huh.
and be that, and that's the effect. Then that's a wonderful effect on the earth.
That's why it's hard if they tell me all they want to do is stay in their house and not do anything because they can't associate with people. I don't know if they're having an influence or not.
Yes, they are.
think so?
Yes, absolutely. Because the energy, everything's energy, and if they are there and they can project that love, and that's the best place for them to do it, then that's affecting the energy of the planet and everybody around them, because it's all connected.
All right, let's talk about the second wave. They are younger. They came in after the first wave. The first wave is the one that had the hardest time. Now, we're figuring, what, 30s, 20s, 30s?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In that age group?
Right. Mm-hmm. Maybe 40s. So, I mean, it's in that middle range there. Mm-hmm.
You can tell the difference between them and the first wave. And every time I get a one who's in the second wave, I'm always told, or they, you know, they tell me when they're doing the session, they are channels, generators, antennas. They are here to bring in energy, to channel energy through their bodies. And they don't have to do anything. All they have to do is just be.
Which is really all of them. That's what they all do. But that one especially.
That one especially. They have not had as much trouble as the others. They just, a lot of them work out of their homes. They don't mix that much with people. They're loners, but they are very satisfied with their lives. But they said they could go into a mall or a store, just walk through it, and not do anything. But their energy is so strong and full of love that it affects everybody that they come in contact with. And that's really all they're supposed to do, is just spread the energy. And these people especially don't want to have children. Now, I said that before. Having children creates karma, and that's why they don't want to have children. They want to get in here and get out and not have to be caught. And we had some emails where they said, how does having children create karma? They don't understand that. Do you want to try to explain it?
Well, I mean, that's your closest relationship, and whenever you're in a really close relationship like that, you that's where you have all these connections, and you have these that's where you could do things based on that connection or thing. But there are ways to be in these relationships without creating karma. So that's the part that they're just afraid of that. But but no, your children, you know, because they're just so close. I mean, you probably have a better explanation, but it's just that closeness. And usually they're here for that reason, is you're working that off. And
That's what I was told. There's more karma involving husbands, wives, and children than any other relationship because it is closer. So these people have unconsciously chosen not to have any children.
I think part of it might be because then you have a connection here that you might not want to leave because of.
Yeah, because they want to get in and get out.
Right.
They don't want to.
Yeah, they don't want to leave their child, and after they have a child, where otherwise it's like, I have no reason to stay here. I can, you know, your parents will probably be gone after, you know, a certain age, and so you're like, okay, I can, but a child, oh, I have to stay here for them. See, that's where it's like it kind of gets into a.
That's what they're worried about, getting trapped anyway.
Right.
Okay. But, I was going to say something there. This thing was going around in my head about, I have had some of the second wave who have had children, but they've had a very difficult time getting pregnant and even having the child. Mm-hmm. I had one client, they had to keep her in the hospital during most of the pregnancy, I think from about 3 months on. She couldn't even move. She was hooked up to machines to keep her heart beating at a certain rate so she could have the child. Mm-hmm. So it meant that the energy just wasn't right. So they have a very difficult time. And during the session, it said that this person should not have even had a child. So you can realize the problem, the difficulty of it, because the energies just don't match. And even some of the first group, we've been told that when that new energy comes in, it's very difficult for it to match with the mother when it enters into the fetus for the first time. Sometimes the energy is so different that the mother will miscarry because it can't, the energy can't go into the fetus and match the mother. So when that happens, the next time they try it, they try to tone down the energy to just put a part of the energy of the incoming soul into the new baby so that it will be born. And these are the first wave. Mm-hmm. And many of them told me, they said, yes, my mother lost a baby right before me.
And when you were asking earlier why they were coming in, that was what I was, it was kind of like, kind of starting to help set the pace, you know, just kind of testing the waters. That's what was meant by testing the waters. It was how well will this energy adapt, and how can we start doing this? So that's why you have some of them much earlier than that. It's where it was testing it. Yes. Mm-hmm.
That would make sense, because they had to do something to see, and they said it was very difficult because these souls had such a high vibrating energy, and they'd never been on Earth before, that it was very difficult for them to enter into the human body. So they said when they are born, they only have a part of the energy. Then as they grow older, more of the energy will be able to be downloaded and come into the body.
Right.
And I've had people emailing me a lot on this. This is really touching a lot of people.
And this is where... a lot of, and don't want to make a medical claim here or anything, but a lot of where people are having energy problems is because when they download more something, it's maybe more than what they at that point can handle, and it becomes imbalanced, and that's where the person will have maybe some problems energetically wise, and we may see them manifest as seizures or things like that. These are all energetic imbalances. And I think when you, it's from when they amp it up, essentially, you know, and they're...
Yeah, this, because I recently had a young girl who was that way, and her symptoms for the last 5 years, since she's about 15, have been mimicking epileptic seizures, you know, with these, you know, crawling on the floor and the jerking and the convulsions, but the doctors say it is not epilepsy, so that's why she came to see me. But what we got is this, the energy. Because, you know, the second wave are channels of energy, and they're supposed to be spreading it. And it's a little too much.
Yes.
And I think you're correct. It must be at the time that the age was, they're supposed to get more, and like an overload, a short circuit.
Yeah, well, part of it is, and I would like to, I hope it's okay, to of what I keep getting every time I intuitively see what's happening on these people. And this is a way, if you have this happening or if you resonate with this, this will also tell you what you can do. But like you said, yeah, it's amping up. But the person has asked for that, you know, because they came in here to be that channel. And they're like, okay, at these points, I'm guessing they did it either beforehand, saying at these points I want to be up, or that, but their guide or whatever, it's done. But it's like, but they're waiting on you, the person, to say whether or not it's working, but they forget.
This is not conscious.
Right, they forget that we have blinders and veils on, and we don't know this consciously to say, hey, wait a minute, a little too much here, you know? So what I see when I look at them intuitively is almost like the Star Trek when they do the beaming, you know, it's like that beam comes all the way around them. It actually sits about 2 feet all the way around them.
Yeah.
Well, the normal energy pattern, when it comes in like a funnel into the top of the head in that shape, and then it comes down through the body.
That's what you get.
That's how it's supposed to be. That's how the body is made to handle it. But when they have it coming down all around them, it's too much. That's not, the body can't work with that. It's more than it can handle, and that's when it has all these other things happening. So all you have to do is say, can you turn it down, please? Or you can even visualize for yourself putting it in the cone, in that funnel. But, you know, but turn it down. Please turn it down. And they will. It happens immediately. I have done it myself. I've done it with people. I've felt it immediately go down. And
because
then,
they said that they don't realize it's too much.
Exactly, until you say something. And so that's where if this is what you're feeling, tell them, it's too much. Turn it down, please. And then you have a conscious connection, then, and when you feel you're ready, you can go, okay, let's try a little bit more, and let's work with it, because now you're consciously working with them and with it. So,
because I was thinking of visualizing control or something and just turning it down if you wanted to be visual, but it's the same way. Just,
right.
If you know what's happening, just say, it's too much, it's affecting my body in a negative way, and I don't like that.
Yeah, it's an imbalanced way. Yeah, it's an imbalance. So it's more than you can handle. And so you just say, please turn it down. And it's always immediate. Anything you ask for is immediate.
Mm-hmm.
So
you have to trust it and know it.
Yes.
But the second wave didn't have as much trouble as the first wave, and I asked one time, why was that? They said because the first wave was the pioneers, the trailblazers, the way showers.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody had to be the first to mark the path.
Yeah, the water testers.
The water testers for the other ones to follow. And so they were the first ones to come in. And the other ones followed after them, so the other ones didn't have as much trouble with this.
Right.
Except now with this energy. Otherwise, they're very gentle people. They work out of their homes. They don't cause any problems. Where the first one have had a lot of anxiety.
And remember, this is a balancing act here. That's why a lot of it's kind of like, not to give you the impression that we're being experimented on. I mean, this is all our doing and our choosing, and it's a balancing act as the earth is moving. That's why the changing in energies is happening. So that's why it's all a very delicate balancing thing. That's why it's not known really what each person needs and stuff as they move in any of the waves, you know, how everything moves.
Mm-hmm. But the third wave are what we call the new children. Now, some of these are in their teens now.
Mm-hmm.
But they're the ones that came in with everything in place. And these are what some people call the indigo children. I don't really like that term, but they're the new children. And they are the ones, but they say they're the gift to the world. They're here to really turn things around. But when they, I lost my thoughts. when they were first coming in, they...
Their DNA?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, I'm trying to think here. You're picking up my thoughts.
I guess so.
Okay. All right. See, they're already coming in with the DNA has already been changed and is already in place. Now, the rest of us, our DNA is being changed. It's being adapted. But because we're older, because we have been on the earth longer, it's taking a little longer and it's harder to do. Of course, there's old people out there saying we have to go to 12-strand DNA. I don't think it has to be 12 strand. They said eventually it might, but they say you go to a workshop and instantly your DNA will go to 12 strand. They said it's a very delicate procedure on the older people because they have to try to adapt this, and sometimes it'll go along and then it will fall apart again. But eventually all our DNA is changing. To be adapting. We're supposed to be no more disease. We're supposed to live as long as we want. But the new ones coming in, their DNA is already in place. Now, these are the ones who are way ahead. And this is what the teachers don't understand, and some parents, too. I've gone to conferences where we have tried, they said, trying to educate the educators. And they had a panel of these children, and they were all telling everybody what it was like. They said, it's not that they're disruptive in the class. They don't want to be disruptive. It's because they're bored. They learn things so extremely fast that they're bored sitting in the class. They said, when the teacher asks them for an answer, especially with mathematical problems, they give them the answer. And the teacher says, well, how did you find that answer? And they said, I know it. That's not sufficient for the teacher. Mm-hmm. And that gets very frustrating to the child. And other times they'll say, we're sitting there, and they said, you're making us go over and over and over the same thing again and again. We got it the first time. And that's what makes them bored. And I've been told in my work, the best thing to do with these children is to give them challenges. Give them something different to do. If the other ones aren't keeping up, then take the child over to the side and give them another assignment. Give them something else to work on. They said even if you just give them something to tear apart and put back together again, it's giving them something to do that's different. This is why they're disruptive, because they're bored. They shouldn't be put on Ritalin.
Mm-hmm.
at all, because that is interfering with the brainwave that they've come in here to do. And you said you saw, I don't want to go into the other part of it, but you saw in a book you were reading, and I want to explore it further, that the scientists are finding that the DNA has changed.
Yes. I think it was at UCLA. Was it UCLA? It was some university hospital where they said they have found that, yes, the
DNA has
changed.
And I was going to look into it and research it some more, but they said the DNA has changed, and we are turning into a race that will not get sick.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Because before, I asked, how are the scientists going to know if this is happening? They said, well, they won't really know what to look for. Maybe they're discovering what to look for.
Right.
So these are the young ones that are coming in. And they definitely, these shouldn't be squelched. They should be allowed to express their what their possibilities
are. I think a lot of that is they're different. And that's what you look at. It's like, well, I didn't do that when I was their age or whatever. You know, it's like they're different. They come from a different place. And so we just want to be open with them. But they're still children. And that's where I've had some dealings with some people. They're, oh, this is my crystal child. This is, they let them do whatever, and it's like they're still a child. You know, there's still your parental guidance and those things going on there. You just don't. I mean, they're just different, you know. But you still got. They're going to do their normal child things. So,
maybe,
you know,
even more so.
Exactly, because they're very creative. So you've got to still set boundaries, and I mean, do your normal parental guidance things, but in a way that does not. Like you said, squish them. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Their creativity and their talents. And
Well, I saw a documentary a few years ago where they were talking about some of these children. They're only 9 and 10 years old, had already graduated from college. And they were, some of them were starting their own companies, their own organizations. And the amazing thing about it was the organizations they were founding have to do with helping the children of the world. You can see definitely why they're here, what this is all about when they're coming in. And I had Nikki Patello on my show a couple of weeks ago, and our company has published her book. What's the name of it?
Children of the Stars.
And that it tells like a guide for the care and feeding of these special children.
Right.
It's to guide the parents through this and tell them how to take care of the child, and also to guide the teacher in how to take care of the child.
Right.
And that's a very good one. We recommend that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a very big book, but it goes over how these children are different and how to deal with them. So that's important, too.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now I was trying to... I know when I was on the Coast to Coast, George Norrie didn't seem to want me to talk about God, about the source. He wanted to stick to the other part. And some of the emails were confusing because they thought that I meant everybody who was coming in these three waves of volunteers, were all ETs. You know, they were all coming from other planets and other dimensions and spaceships. Like an invasion of Earth.
Right.
Now, really, you know, you're just a soul. This is, you are not a body. You have a body. This is the body you happen to be living in at this time. This is a suit of clothes, the costume you're wearing right now to play this part on Earth. But you've been around forever, ever since you were created by God. So you have lived on other planets. You have been aliens, if you want to call them that. You have been light beings. You've lived in other dimensions because it's all according to whatever lesson you're supposed to learn. So you've been around doing all these things. So it doesn't matter what body you take on at that time. And these for these people, they go back to lives where they had bodies you wouldn't even recognize. You wouldn't even think was human. It doesn't matter. It was the body they were using in that planet or that dimension, wherever it was.
Right.
It was the suit of clothes, the costume.
Right. Like we were saying last week, they are us and we are them. I mean, it's all we're all one. And there is no separation. There is no difference.
People want to put them over here as aliens, as different,
right.
to be afraid of, and there is no fear.
No.
Maybe that's what it's all about. We're getting to the point now that we can see we're all one.
Yes. That's like the major thing to see.
Because in my work, I've 25 years working on the ETs and the UFOs, and I have found only positive. I've found that they're full of love, they're here to help, and this is what it's all about. It's it's nothing to be feared. And this is the main thing you have to get over is fear. Fear is a paralyzing emotion. It holds you back. You have to stop being afraid of everything.
Well, I really that's what Earth, that is this dimension, that's this level is fear.
Is
that's what Earth is made of, and that's what we're moving out of. That's what this whole huge lift is to lift out of that. So that's why that's such a big thing. It's probably why it's played so much right now, or in general, is because that's what we have to move beyond, and that you have to step out of that and choose not to fear, and it's all a choice.
Yeah. But I know when I was on the Coast to Coast, George Nuri had the idea that this, what I was talking about, the three waves, was a localized phenomena. I said, oh no, this is happening all over the world. Because, you know, I traveled to the four corners of the world.
Literally.
Literally. And these people are everywhere. Although they don't know it consciously, when I do the sessions, we find them. And they come up to me, at even in South Africa afterwards, and said, now I understand why I felt so different all my life.
Right.
They're everywhere. And this is what I've been told. Now they think there are tens of thousands of these new souls all over the world. And they think now we have got to the, what is called, the critical
right. Yeah.
Point.
We kept wondering before, where is that point? Does it have to be half? Does it have to, because it's like, man, that's a lot of people. But it doesn't have to be that many. Because as we were saying last week, how positive and negative works is, if you have a dark room and you open a door on it from a very bright room, it casts light into that dark. The dark doesn't bleed over into the light. The light casts into the dark, and so it exposes and it sheds over there. So it doesn't take as much of the light to offset the negative, the dark. And so that's why we're at that point now with just a few. I mean, saying tens of thousands, that would seem like a few.
Out of the millions,
yeah,
out of the
billions,
whole world.
Whatever. They're actually, that's why you're seeing this happen. You know, we've been feeling it for years, but now we're seeing it. You know, you really see it happening. So,
Because at first they were really afraid if we could do it. They didn't know if we could. And so that's why they've been watching us all this time to see. But now they finally have said, we think we have come to, what is that called, that critical?
That's
another term when they talk about the hundredth monkey.
Yeah, the critical mass.
The critical mass, It has finally come to that point where there's so many all over the world, they think we're going to do it. We are going to tip the scales. We are going to save the earth.
I wonder, too, what I keep wondering, because it's like it may not be, I think it could be the influence as well, it not only just the actual ones coming in, but then the influence from those, because I don't know that I'm one of them, but I definitely feel changed in everything, so that I feel like I could be one of them, but I know of many past lives that I've had here on Earth. I feel comfortable here, so it's like, okay, I'm probably not one of them, but I feel so like I'm developing on a very rapid schedule, so... that's where I wonder if it's not just the influence going on there, too,
okay.
Or something. So,
well, if we have a caller, we're going to have to sign off the air now. Ask the question real quick. But that's the way it is, that they are influencing even though they don't know it. Okay, yeah, we're coming up to the time I'm supposed to leave anyway. But those out there, don't feel you're not here for a purpose. You are. It's a beautiful, wonderful purpose.
We're all here for a purpose.
Okay.
Nobody came here by mistake.
Nobody. You all chose.
Nobody.
Okay, but I'm going to have to sign off now so they can get the next toast on the air. And thanks for listening tonight. And you can email me on DoloresCannon.com.
Well, that's the website. Your email is
Yeah, well,
yeah, through there.
Through that website.
Yeah.
or call us at 1-800-935-0045. Okay, good night, everyone.